Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one Guitar Nerds Podcast. I am your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
This evening.
And Joe Branton.
Aha.
Not only is it the morning, we're also the world's number one Guitar Nerds Podcast. Yeah, I think that's true. No one can ever dispute that or make a t-shirt about it or a crazy Facebook banner or anything like that. We are the world's number one Guitar Nerds Podcast. Busy week this week. Matt Knight, you've been out. You weren't on the podcast last week, is that right?
Has he been on it for the last couple?
We had Dan. No,
yeah, last week we had Dan. The week before we had Mikey Demas.
Oh,
the week
yeah.
before we had one. Mary. Oh, yeah.
You were on
I
the
was only briefly on that one because... Yeah. Didn't say very much.
Yeah, that's true. Matt, you've been out at Toman Gearhead University this week.
Yes.
Oh, probably the worst named thing of all time.
I mean,
in history.
GitCon was pretty bad. Yeah. That's a bad name. Gearhead University, bad name. But
oh god,
by all accounts, it looked pretty fun.
It's so Riggs of Dad. The name is so Riggs of Dad.
I almost bought a Riggs of Dad t-shirt this morning.
I'm going to Toman Gearhead University with really, my Marshall MG.
They've got some really good t-shirts.
When you say good t-shirts, do you mean they're wrestling t-shirts?
No, they're just like good t-shirts.
Right,
like the logo is just really good. Matt, all that aside, how was it?
It was really good. Went to Treppendorf, which is 2.5 hours drive outside of Frankfurt in the German area of Franconia. Which is actually in the middle of absolutely nowhere. Toman have no phone signal. They do have free Wi-Fi, so they installed a phone booth in their shop. So
really?
If you really need to make a phone call, you can use their phone booth. Yeah, it's literally in the middle of nowhere. But the funny thing is that the store, although it's massive now, is still built. It's extended from the original store that Toman started in.
Wait, and if it's in the middle of nowhere, why did they build a store there in the first place?
Probably because cheap.
Yeah, because what happened was is the grandfather, if I remember right, of Hans Toman repaired trumpets on the back of his bike.
Grands Toman.
Yeah, Grands Toman. He used to travel around fixing people's like trombones and stuff like that on the back of his bike.
He used to go around giving everyone a trombone.
Yeah, and then basically moved to his garage, and then from there passed it on to his son, and then obviously Hans Toman now. And it is one of the most mind-blowing operations I've ever seen.
Just huge.
It's like Amazon for guitars. Yeah, they've just built a new warehouse, and I don't know, it's probably like 15, I don't know.
I love how you're going to try and work out the square footage.
I was going to try and work out how many stories it was. I was going to try and work. Someone told me how many stories tall it was.
Basically, how many football pitches is it? Because that's a metric that we all know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well over 10.
How many men could you fit back to back in there?
Hundreds of thousands.
Wow. So you were saying, you're talking about people who were there. You were saying a huge number of people in the operation.
Yeah, so I think there's 1,400 people work for Toman in total. 200 people in their call center. They speak every European language. So every language that they distribute to, they have someone who works in their call center speaking. No, they probably just speak English.
No one speaks Welsh. Sorry to all our Welsh listeners.
Yeah, so that's pretty crazy. I mean, their average, considering how many returns they get, I think it's something like 250 a day, their average response time is 2 hours for like a customer service email. Their average pick, like order to dispatch time is 28 minutes. And at peak time, they can dispatch 25,000 packages in a day.
Well, sorry, why are these statistics that you have recalled?
I find that very interesting.
They gave us a tour.
Matt knows all the facts.
I know all the facts. So, yeah, and at Christmas, they never close. So over the Christmas period, they open
Not even Christmas
hours.
Day?
No, they open 24 hours a day.
I'm not into that. I'm absolutely not into that. Not for any religious reasons, but like... Give the poor man a break. Do you know what I mean? You've got to have some time off. You're not having...
Well, presumably people are getting paid overtime.
Even so...
Yeah, so actually, I think the way that they work there is that you have to work a weekend day and you have...
Why do you know this much?
Because...
He's in it.
He got a diploma from the Gearhead University.
That's the thing. That is day one. Room 101. You go in there and you learn... The facts.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. So we went to the store. You wander around, and the store is massive. 200 people work there. And they have a department room for everything from grand pianos to singing bowls. They actually had a meditation room.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm into that.
I think they probably had 75 singing bowls on display from 100 euros. How much do you think the most expensive singing bowl was?
You can 20 grand?
It's unbelievable.
It was 7,000 euros, weighed 22 kilos, and you stand in it, and then you do the singing bowl. So it vibrates your whole body. It was absolutely nuts.
I tell you into that. That's amazing.
Yeah. They had like an entire... Because they have entire orchestras turn up and buy all their equipment. So they cater for everything from like massive 5-octave orchestral xylophones to like tiny hand cymbals.
I just want to be the guy who's like, yep, yeah, someone's buying a 7 grand singing bowl. And I'm just like, yeah, can I just get those little tiny finger cymbals that like click together a little bit? That's what I need. Yeah, exactly that.
But I did feel sorry because the percussion room is on the top floor. They've got no lift and the heaviest gong they've got there is something like 50 kilos. And it's like a 4-man lift.
And it's on the 15th floor?
No, it's 50 kilos and it's on the top floor.
Yeah.
Right, which is like 3 floors up. And they're like normal stairways. They're not like massive.
I guess the reason you do that is because how many gongs are you selling versus like bass cabs? Do you know what I mean? You put the bass cabs and the PA stuff that's going to sell a lot and is heavy on the bottom floor. And then even if you've got the occasional gong, it's going on the top floor, mate. Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy, crazy operation.
The key thing about the event, I guess, was that obviously there was loads of brands there, but there was also a lot of our friends from the world of YouTube there.
Yes.
Who did you run into?
I spoke to our friend Ryan from 60 Cycle Hum.
Yep.
He was hanging out. Mary Spender. Spent some time with Mikey Demas. He was there for a couple of days. We were out till 4 in the morning at one point. I felt pretty bad the next day.
What were you doing? Were you like grooming each other's beards?
Yeah, he was giving me serious beard tips.
Is that what it was? Okay, fine. Yeah.
No, there was Toman actually put on a party one night and it was a free bar until 4 in the morning. So.
Bloody hell.
Was that in Toman itself?
No. They'd hired like this massive venue.
Right. Still in Treppendorf?
Well, Bamberg, which is the... Because Treppendorf is just a village.
Right.
And don't they all work there?
Well, like, I thought that as well, but actually Treppendorf, the village, has probably only got like 20 houses in it.
Right.
And it was just a tiny village beforehand. So most people live in Bamberg, which is like another town about 20 minutes drive away.
Right, and that's where you had your did a bit of partying down.
They put on like a band and stuff like that. They had some people from Berkeley come down. The Berkeley have just started something called the Gear Club, which is basically a room where they hire out stuff for YouTubers and influencers who are studying at Berkeley.
Right.
Got to see some cool people play. Adam Neely, he does a really great YouTube channel about like music theory and stuff like that, and he played bass. Amazing bass player.
Oh yeah, I've seen that fella's videos.
Yeah, so he did some stuff. Jay Leonard Jay, he's only been doing YouTube just under 2 years. He was an incredible player and singer, just like totally mind. Got on stage and did loads of Prince stuff, and it was just like, yeah, absolutely amazing. But he'd never used a looper before, so I was like, oh, I was like, how have you never used a looper before? You know, cause he's just one of those amazing players. He's like, no, never needed it. Like,
how much stuff did you have to give away, Matty? That's the key thing.
I gave away just some accessories like straps and cables and some records to people who did videos for us. Gave away a couple of pedals. Gave an RC3 looper to Mary Spender.
Oh, yeah.
Like a really old RC20.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then gave some stuff to Philippa. She was the youngest YouTuber there.
Philippa Q.
She did a little video on the Katana Air.
Yeah, I saw that.
She was like really, obviously, bear in mind that everyone there is probably in their 30s at least. And she's 12?
Yeah, she's 12.
And, you know, she's obviously quite like nervous. But then as soon as she picked up the guitar, she sang a song for on the Katana Air and I was absolutely blown away.
Really?
Like, amazing, yeah.
It's My favourite video that's I think has come out so far is you and Ryan from 60 Cycle Hum walking up a hill while you're playing a headless Strandberg and he's carrying the Katana Air. Yeah. And it's just like, this could be from a film or something, because you just sort of see the top of your heads and then you both come up over the hill and you've got this like headless guitar rocking and he's like holding the Katana Air like the boombox from Say Anything. And yeah, it's just a great image.
Over the hill, indeed.
Yeah, indeed.
The annoying thing was the hill was incredibly steep. The upside, so it was really difficult to try and walk up and play the guitar.
Yeah.
I met Nita Strauss.
Oh, yeah.
And talked to her about Roland. She uses a GT100. She was like, WrestleMania, all GT100.
Really? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
I was like, oh,
I wouldn't be publicising that too much because it sounded pretty bad, to be honest. But I think it was more to do with her monitoring than it was to do with the actual guitar sound, because yeah, it was kind of a bit all over the place. But when they have live performances there, it always sounds rubbish. And I think it's just, yeah, because you're in a whatever that
you're
one
in
was.
An auditorium,
80,000 seat a stadium, yeah, and you're walking down a ramp and there's, like dancers and stuff
probably
going
like
on
two
around
PA
you.
Speakers.
Yeah, I think I couldn't see that she was wearing monitors maybe. So she's probably just listening to the like front of house or something. And it wasn't great. But interesting to know it was all Katanas.
Yeah, GT100.
Oh, sorry, GT even, sorry.
But she was like, oh yeah, you still use that with like Alice Cooper and all the Iron Maiden stuff. So that was kind of cool.
Is she not had a go on the Helix then? It's weird, isn't it?
No, she did try the GT1000, said it's amazing. So, you know, they're already on the way to
us.
So.
Of course. What was the feedback like on GT1000 at Toman?
Really good. It was basically on display. A few people tried it out. I was totally non-pushy, really. I was just like, look, if people want to try stuff, they want to try stuff.
That is such rubbish. I don't believe that for
Mate,
a second.
You've got such this idea about yourself being like, oh, no, yeah, I'm not pushy. And it's like, oh, yeah, GT1000, is it? Do you want a GT1000 and tonic? Oh, sorry, gin and tonic, guys.
GT1000 and tonic, the new drink of choice at Boss HQ.
Yeah, because it was weird because they had three video rooms that were already fully set up with amps and stuff and gear. And we've already got like a Boss display, but there was only five filming stations, so you couldn't really like drag a load of stuff in. So the main thing I did was I took some vintage stuff down and let people try a load of vintage. So I bought an old original C1 and AB'd it with a CE2, and I took a Space Echo down and AB'd it with an RE20, and then took an old Dimension rack down with the pedal as well.
I think you should have taken the worst Boss pedals of all time with you for some hilarious videos.
The Extortion, the Power Driver.
Oh, the Power Driver. What a classic. Well, Matt, I'm glad it was good. It's the videos I've seen. It's just basically you hanging out with people. That's the only videos that I've really wanted to watch. I don't really care about the like people playing and stuff. That's not really for me. I just want to see my mates hanging out on video. And those have been quite fun so far.
It was really good. Met a lot of new people. And just sort of like, made a bunch of new friends, which was great, really, and got to talk about gear for 5 days. And by the end of it, though, I must admit, I was pretty tired of eating bread and curry first.
Yeah, I bet.
It's like every breakfast is just bread and cheese and ham. And it's like once you've had 5 days of bread, cheese and ham, you're like, please.
Vegan no options? Bread. Any vegan options?
Actually, yes. Yep, they actually built their own kitchen at Toman now, so they've got an entire like restaurant that they've built there that's open to staff and to customers as well, so you can go there and have lunch, and they have a vegetarian/vegan option and two normal options every day.
Excuse me, To what options, mate?
Normal. For us normals. Us normies that are living the dream.
Living the real world.
Living the meat and dairy dream.
I mean, I did it one thing one day, which was called... Well, the direct translation is liver cheese.
I'm in. Give it to me.
Which is basically just... It was rank. It was rank.
That sounds
fantastic.
Not made
with liver, but it is some sort of, like, meat... thing. That was horrible.
That sounds so good. Talking about rank, Joe Branton, you had a giant portrait of your face made this week. Why did this happen?
I told you. I said I was suffering some serious FOMO from not being at the Toman event because I was at GitCon, didn't get invited to this one. Yep. So I was like,
"What? You work for GAC?"
Yeah, I mean, yeah, would you have been able to go?
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able. It's the principle. Made some enemies there. They have. But anyway, so I thought, what do
quite
I need
Gandalf.
To do?
Yeah, Yoda.
I was like,
Yoda.
I was like, what do I need to do to make myself feel better about not being at Toman with all my YouTube friends? So I commissioned a giant portrait of my own face.
Why? I don't get how the two things are linked.
I've been drinking.
A different expression of Joe's narcissism.
Narcissism. He can't be on videos with all his mates, so he got a giant portrait
of his
face.
I'll show you. Here's a portrait of me.
I'm gonna hang
Joe Branton.
I'm going to hang it above my desk at work. It's going to be great.
How big is it?
I don't know. I think it was 6 foot by 4 foot. I'm not
sure. 6 foot?
No, it's not that big. No, I don't know how big it is. It's a fair size.
It's absolutely
But
ridiculous.
It's yeah, it's good. It's good old.
Just looked at what Jay's googled. Just turn around and Jay's googling various pictures of Vigo the Carpathian.
That's what I imagine. That's what I imagine this is going to be.
It is Branton.
You're going to hang it up in the GAC office, and just like you'll go on holiday or whatever, and everyone's just going to keep looking up at you, being like, he's going to come along. 100%. Yeah. He's going to kill us all.
Joe, are you the scourge of Moldavia? Yes, so people can see this on the Facebook group. There is talk about making it into a t-shirt.
Yeah, I probably should.
Make that happen. Just white shirts, just with that, and
with
really
that,
big
that
on the front.
Portrait, yeah.
Or maybe just the pocket.
No, I think it's got to be full size.
Okay.
I think it should be a plain t-shirt on the front, and on the back, the picture should be right... In the middle, but right at the bottom,
right
the bum crack,
the bum, yeah. That's where the
just
picture
the,
should be.
The bum,
yeah,
funny, yeah, we could
funny
do that.
Bum. What about just a pair of little pants with it on the
Joe
bum?
Bumpton.
Joe Bumpton. Matt Knight, you got a delivery of something quite fun this week.
Yes, the people from Mod Duo Devices reached out to us to see if we wanted to just check out their pedal, which has been out actually. It's been out for a little while, but it's a multi effects that is probably a little bigger than a Line 6 M5, but runs a full computer inside. So it basically runs Linux, which is why it took a little while for it to start up. I plugged it in, and I was like, why is it just stuck on this one screen? It's like, actually has to boot up like a proper PC. But it's completely open source, plugin-based, multi-effects. So you plug it into your computer, it runs a program in Chrome that you can then completely route signal however you want, like a modular... you know, like a modular synth, but with effects pedals. But you can do everything, like MIDI sync, you can do sequencers, you can sequence controls inside parameters. It's got a USB in for like peripherals. So you can plug like a PlayStation controller in.
Yes.
And then hook the PlayStation controller to like, I don't know, if you press X or something, it like turns the distortion on or whatever. It's completely open source. So if you're into programming, you can do some really wacky stuff with it. And it's constantly being updated, and it's all the plugins are completely free.
So when you say plugins, are they plugins that people have created, or have Mod Duo made these plugins? Right, a bit of both.
So they started off by doing a bunch, but the whole platform is open source, so people have been making their own. So you've got everything from like, you know, recreations of Boss and Electro-Harmonix pedals to like weird sequences and synths and pitch shifters and filters and all that sort. And it's dual independent ins and outs. So you can actually run two sources into it at once, and then they can have completely different signal chains. They can split multiple times inside the unit. It's totally nuts. Totally nuts. Not many people have been talking about. I've not seen anyone use one yet because I think it's just so new, and I think it's I guess it's one of those things where it's you almost do get a little bit of option paralysis as soon as you turn it on, because you're like, it's just so much I can do with it. But they've programmed a load of cool stuff in it already, and there's a bunch of amp sims in it. So you can actually just plug headphones straight in and use it as a pedal board with headphones.
Does it, at the end, when you go to turn it off, does it say, it is now safe to turn off your computer? Classic Windows 95 gag there. Big. So have you found
In with an open source, you could probably put an open source plug-in and you just press the pedal and it just turns itself off.
Yeah. Or you plug in the PlayStation controller and you hit the options button and that turns the pedal off.
Yeah.
Have you found a way to slot it into the ungiggable rig yet?
No. I'm going to try and do a Facebook video on it tomorrow. Do a little bit of a Facebook stream and see if I can do some sort of that with a screen capture or something, just messing around with the interface.
Cool.
But it's all Bluetooth as well, so in theory you can actually like control it via Bluetooth, and maybe there's a way to like hook a Nintendo Wii controller up to it and then put the Wii controller on the end of your guitar and then use that.
Oh my word.
If there isn't natively, what you could do is you could run Max MSP on your computer.
Oh yeah, it does run Max MSP.
Right. Well, if it runs Max MSP, then yes, you could use a Wii controller, because I know that Max MSP will take a Wii controller input. So you could... Yeah, you could basically just control your effects with a Wii controller.
I think this is the way forward.
I think you should just sell the rest of your stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, and then sounds... buy a Nintendo Wii and this.
And just sell the Mod Duo and then just play Wii Bowling all the time and forget about playing guitar
sports.
Entirely. Yeah, that's what you need to do. Just a bit of Wii Boxing. Love it.
I'm interested to sort of dive into it and see what it can do.
Nice. One thing before we delve into the news, one thing that I tried this week, which actually isn't guitar related, the Korg Monologue synth. I don't know if you've looked at these, Jay. I know you're a bit of a synth addict now. But I went to a friend of mine's house and he was like, oh, I just bought this Korg Monologue. Battery powered synth that is absolutely awesome. I don't know if it's Korg specifically, but it seems like loads of people are doing battery powered stuff at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think this kind of came from maybe, where were we? I guess 5 or so years ago, I think Korg were the first people to really bring this back into the sort of the public's perception with the Volkers.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Is that what?
I think okay. So. I mean,
I would have thought the Micro Korg. Before that.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's a decade ago.
I think that the
Warren Ellis only uses it like on batteries so that he can have it on his lap and like throw it around.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, I mean I don't know. I by no means profess to be a synth
specialist
expert or anything. I've always had like a sort of a passing interest in them. But for me the turning point here really was when the Volkers came out, and
yeah,
because they were so cheap.
Yeah.
In comparison to everything else that was on the market, and you know, pretty easy to use. So when I think one of the things that I noticed when they came out was you really saw a shift in who was buying synths.
Right.
It wasn't just people who are into like that sort of stuff or into music production. People like guitar players were buying Korg Volkers, and I think that continued on when Roland released the all those boutiques. You know, that got to the point where even total idiots like me were able to buy them.
Well, you think those original boutiques were designed to be a limited edition one-off thing, and they've now become like a staple part of Roland's synth lineup.
Same with the Volkers, new releases. I think the Volkers weren't designed to be a long-term product.
No, the Volkers have died off now because the boutiques are so much better.
I agree. But I really think that that was one of the first things that really just kicked this all off. But yeah, the monologues are pretty cheap. I think they're only 230 quid
or something.
Yeah. No, it's not a huge amount of money. To be honest with you, I haven't spent a huge amount of time looking at them, but they seem really cool.
It sounded awesome. So he's actually got the Volkers as well. So he's got all the Volkers lined up and the monologue, and they will all sync together. Start like a beat on the drum one, and then the arpeggiator in the monologue will be in time with that. It just sounded incredible. Like all that stuff, none of that stuff costs more than, you know, I think the monologue is the most expensive out of that lot.
Yeah, 200 quid.
What's a Volker? Probably 150 quid or something. Maybe even that. Maybe not even that. Maybe that's what they were when they came out. But
Volker Beats, £117.
Yeah, and it's really, really good fun. We had it like set up to use like the monologue to trigger a load of stuff and use like the rhythm for the Volker Beats to like set the tempo for the for the monologue as well. And it was just like really good fun.
I think Korg are just, they're fantastic when it comes to making these sorts of fairly easy to use products. I've always had half an eye looking towards getting an MS-20 Mini at some point, because
yeah,
they look amazing and they sound fantastic. You had one for a while, didn't you, Matt?
Not an MS-20 Mini.
Listeners, if you're not familiar with the MS-20, it's a small keyed synthesizer, but it has like the sort of vertical control section, much like how a classic Moog would look.
Well, yeah, it's based on the MS-20, which is like a classic Korg synth, which has that like the patch bay section at the back,
yeah,
and then yeah, the kind of keys at the bottom,
yeah. But the difference being that it's about £500, so it's a very affordable version of a really cool retro.
They're very, very reasonable. £440.
Is that the
MS-20? The MS-20 Mini, yeah.
You were listening to Synth Nerd.
Yeah, well, totally, I know. And without wanting to go too far down this route, I've also had half an eye on getting an ARP Odyssey at some point.
Oh, really? They look fantastic.
Another one, the Korg analog synthesizer.
I mean...
No keys or anything, it's just...
Yeah, you're just manipulating.
They're so good. They're so cool.
As we're on that tack, I still think the Arteria Microboot might be the best sort of £250 you can spend if you want a synthesizer. Like, I've been doing this band with my girlfriend where I'm playing guitar and she's playing synthesizer, and we're using what's the Roland drum machine, the TR-8. We've been using
there's a few, the TR-8,
and she's using the Arteria Microboot for like bass synth, and it's like going through a load of guitar pedals and stuff, so we can drive and delay it and stuff. And they're fantastic for no money.
Yeah,
I've really been thinking a bit more seriously about it. Like, I had a band practice last night, and one of the guitar players, Dan actually, who was on the podcast last week, it was his birthday yesterday.
Oh yeah, I forgot
the big 3-0. So he decided to bail on us. Like, didn't want to have a band practice on his birthday. What a wally. Ugh. So it was just three of us, and there was a couple of bits where I was thinking, like, there's a few bits where I do the classic bass player thing, which is I'm just not going to play for a minute here, or I'll just play one note. And I was thinking, I wonder if I could like play a really simple synth line whilst I'm just playing one note on, like, I've got a free hand.
Have you plugged any of those boutiques in yet? That's the question.
Yeah. But I need to find a way to get them all hooked up properly. Yeah. And I think I need something like a Volca Beats or a TR-8 as well. Something that there's a backbeat there for me to work with. Because at the moment it's just me going like boop 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 boop.
What do you need?
Yeah, I mean, that's Matt Knight's dream.
Well, totally, totally.
No rhythm or any sort of song structure.
Actually,
it's just
now,
noise.
I did buy the boutique, and I'm waiting for it to arrive, the TR-08, which is the 808 drum machine in boutique size.
That's what I'm thinking about maybe getting, actually, because, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, the Roland stuff is a bit cooler than the Korg stuff, isn't it? You know,
But I
don't know. We'll see. But I'd like to be able to try and mix some of that in with this extremely boring punk that we're doing otherwise. So I don't know. We'll see.
Guitars and that. Guitars are all right, aren't they? With that, we should dive into...
Quickly, before we move on.
Okay.
Last night, just one other thing. Last night, you came around here and we shot a load of videos.
We did.
But afterwards, I had to build my pedal board because I've got to go off to Birmingham and do a gig. I had to rebuild it. Do you know what I used? The new Daddario cut-to-measure power cables for your power brick.
So are they like the one that I used for the patch cables where the ends are like ridiculously chunky?
No.
Okay.
So Daddario have obviously seen what Boss have just put out and been like, oh, that's what people actually want. So they've released new patch cables and this, and I think we spoke about it on Gear of the Year, didn't we? The new cut to measure power.
We spoke about
the three monkeys.
Yeah.
Oh, was it three monkeys? Right. So Daddario now have one. But I thought it was great. It was really nice to have like neat power as well as neat patch cables.
Yeah.
Problem for me is always going to be the same problem that I have with these cut to measure patch cables is it doesn't work. It's not true. Because I mean, how many people actually keep their boards kind of the same for a long period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just really expensive, and actually, I do think they break more than normal patch cables do. Like any of them, no matter how easy they are to put together, if you're actually gigging it, something that's solderless that you've put together is 100% going to break more
Maybe
often.
Maybe something that you put together.
Well, that's, yeah. I guess it is that is what it's down to. But I think most guitarists will, you know, put it together appropriately.
At the end of the day, it is a convenience thing because, you know, I built boards for a while and I was soldering everything. The problem is it's so much more time consuming.
Yeah.
And if it fails, you've got to like unsolder it, clean all the connections and everything. And then obviously the other problem is when it comes down to moving your board around, if everything's soldered, you can't just cut the end off and then quickly put a new patch cable together. So I guess that, you know, there's pros and cons to both. I mean, yeah. If I could have a completely soldered board that I'd probably never touch again, and that's totally fine. Same as like Mikey Demons, I guess, he's saying that he solders all the cables and everything, but his rig stays the same, and you know they do like a massive tour that goes on for.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It depends on the player, doesn't it? If you are going to be set, then do it. Then they're great. I am absolutely not ever going to be.
Yeah,
set.
I think it makes sense for Mikey because you know they're at the start of what will probably be a, I don't know, an 18-month, two-year yeah. album cycle. So he's got his stuff set. He can't mix it up too much because if he mixes it up too much, then you're moving away from what the songs are, what people want to hear.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very, very different situation.
If you'll excuse me being a little bit mean for a minute, I saw something
Please
on
the
do. Internet that I really enjoyed this week that was to do with Daddario. Uh-huh. I can't remember who it was. I think it was maybe on 60 Cycle Hum on their Facebook group. Someone pointed out, you know, they've got this this marketing campaign going at the moment about their new cables, which is they show a cross section of a guitar cable, and inside the jack, the like wire is split apart so the signal isn't true, and the copy says this is where 99% of all cables fail, and then the other side says meet the other 1%, and someone pointed out, it's like, all right, where do your cables fail then? If they're not breaking inside the jack, where are you okay? Like, it just seems like a really poorly thought through marketing
campaign. The wording of that is not ideal, but yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
There we go. With that, we should dive into a whole load of this week's
news.
First up, Ernie Ball have announced some brand new colours and indeed a new tremolo model of the James Valentine signature. Matt Knight.
Yes, we actually got to try this at NAMM. I guess it was kind of like a NAMM release, but it was like they're not actually in stores yet. So I think they've actually officially started shipping out to stores. Effectively, exactly the same as the Valentine model, but with the Ernie Ball trem.
We've got photos of this up on our Instagram, these guitars.
Yes. Yes, three new colours. So the Trem model comes in Toluca Lake Blue, Husker Red, and Satin Gold.
The blue is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Blue's nice. Gold's good.
Yeah. And sorry, that's Saturn, as in the planet. I think it might have sounded like I said Saturn, but no, it's Saturn.
Saturn gold. Are you gutted that you didn't get the gold one?
In a way, do you know what? I tried it and I was like, the Trem is an excellent, excellent addition to these guitars. And as I said, when we did the podcast way back at NAMM, like the quality of the roasted flame maple they're getting at the moment, like the necks I'm seeing are like, I mean, I thought I had a pretty good flame neck, and then you see the stuff that's coming out of the factory now and you're like, that is mental.
Yeah, the gold one that's on their website, the neck on it looks just absolutely bonkers.
And you know it's going to be, like, the one that you get is going to be as good quality as that.
And it's funny because we all talk about all the time how we don't really care about that sort of thing. You know, like a bird's eye maple neck, I mean, I don't care about that. Or a flame maple neck, I don't care about that. But the fact that this is, just a really nice piece of wood that's just been roasted like that, they look fantastic. They really do.
Yeah.
I mean, without wanting to spoil the party too much, for me, the best colour is still the trans buttermilk, the first one.
It is really nice.
I don't think they'll better that. I think that looks absolutely incredible.
Go back to the picture of the blue that you had up there. Just want to see. Yeah, I do like it.
It is really nice, the blue. But I just think that until they do a shell pink one, I don't think I'm going to be swayed away from that trans buttermilk.
the blue is kind of a Pelham blue, listeners, if you haven't seen. And I think they changed the plate to white on the blue one.
It looks like the Man City blue that Noel Gallagher had on that Epiphone Supernova, because it's like that, and it's kind of got, you know, like almost like a Sheraton style plate on it as well, so it's got that kind of vibe to it.
When me and Matt, wait, did you come? No, it's just me and Matt. When me and Matt went to the factory, they had an unbuilt neon pink.
I remember seeing the picture.
Who did they build that for? It was the guitarist.
No, they built the singer.
What's his name? Levine.
James Levine.
James Levine. Yeah.
Oh no, Adam. Adam Levine. Adam Levine. James Valentine. Adam Levine.
Yeah.
Can they not, because obviously with the, and I don't know if this is still the case, but when they were doing like super sports and stuff, you could, and I'm sure they still do it on the bases, stingrays and stuff, you could choose from like a huge range of colours, and I'm sure one of those was pink back in the day. Can you not just choose a colour on the James Valentine?
No, they've really slimmed down their custom options. They were actually very smartly, that was kind of for the reason that, you know, I've had that chat with them. I'm sure Matt has as well. I'm sure you guys have as well. When it comes to guitar shop stocking Music Man, it's very difficult to do that because they have so many options that if you choose a few things to stock, chances are the customers are going to come in, try that out, and then be like, yeah, I actually want it slightly differently like this. So you have to custom order something in anyway, and you end up with a load of guitars that just sit around the shop.
Yeah.
That's why loads of guitar shops choose not to stock Music Man or to stock them in very limited quantities. Music Man have addressed this now, limited their range, so that you're pretty safe now as a retailer, sort of buying in the
totally. That was always the problem back in the day when you know, someone would say, right, I want to try Petrucci. It's like, okay, well, which of the 18 colours do you want to try them in? Yeah. And which of the four different Trem styles would you like to try? And which of the five different pickup variations
you
want to
try? And do you need a piezo with that?
Oh yeah, completely. Yeah.
Six or seven.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just absolutely, just monstrous.
I actually want it in seven string with a piezo in Mystic Dream Coat.
Yeah,
please.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
The classic option.
But only a single coil in the neck, please.
Yeah, definitely. I'm quite happy that they're doing that in more colours, because it was good. Obviously, that, you know, that original colour is really, really nice. But I think for some people, you know, colour can be kind of prohibitive if they're not really into it, but they like the guitar, but they're like, oh, I'd never buy a guitar in that finish. So yeah, that is super cool. And also, obviously, the Trem options as well opens it up to loads of new players.
And the Trem is like spot on. It feels great. It's really nice to use. Doesn't go out of tune. It's just like, well, everything you'd expect from a Music Man.
I just love the fact that they're taking their basic signature models and kind of making that their product range. Yeah. You know, like offering that in Trem or non-Trem means that that is kind of a standard model now. You know, you wouldn't really, or you wouldn't just buy it if you're a James Valentine fan. That is like their Strat or Tele, do you know what I mean? And then they've got options around that. I think that's a really, really smart strategy. Offering different guitars because they're signature models, but they're not just like, you know, the Stingray or the Cutlass or whatever. But they're building a kind of strong range based around the signature models. I think that's super cool. There was a brand new Squire guitar this week in a rather nice colour, talking about nice colours. Jay Cross, tell us about it.
Yeah, so following on from the success, I guess, of the long-lasting Bullet Strat, which, you know, has always been in the mix, and then last year there was the Bullet Mustang. Fender have just announced something that's been available in the US for a little while, but come over to Europe for the first time: a Bullet Telecaster for like sub 150 quid. And it's, at the moment, it's only available in one colour, and that colour is seafoam green.
Yeah.
I tell you what, honestly, when we first found out about this, it was Dan and I were sat together, Dan Grace from the podcast last week, and we were just like, oh my gosh, like, how has this never happened before? And I'm so, so excited for them to come over. We were only able to get a very small number to begin with, so they're fairly limited at the moment. So I would say if you're looking for something that you want to get that's a real cheap and easy throwabout guitar, or something that you want to get for someone to learn on that looks good, absolutely just go and get one of these immediately, because they're not going to hang around for very long. I'm so excited about them. Body's a little bit smaller. It's fairly cheap pickups. You know, they're just sort of Squire.
Not smaller, it's just shallower.
Shallower, I guess. Yeah. It's in the same way that the Strats and the Mustangs are. Yeah. That, you know, they're not, there's not as much mass there. The only thing that's a little bit of a shame about it is they are only routed for single coils. So it's not going to be quite the Modcaster that maybe the Mustang is, but already having the two humbucker holes there. But that aside, it's a seafoam green telly for 150 quid.
Yeah.
Like, what more can you ask for? I'm so excited about this. Yeah. I really am. I think it's going to be a
Fender
very, very popular
seem to be
model.
They've for a company that for years were characterized by you know, black, Olympic white, sunburst, and candy apple, that they've all of a sudden really got colours down in every range.
Listen, mate, you get the right people working for you. Sky's the limit. That's what I'm saying. just wait till you see what's coming for the rest of the year. Honestly, that just every time there's an announcement, I'm just like, I can't wait to talk to people about this. It's so exciting.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for Fender at the moment. There's some good stuff out at the moment, and I don't know, probably some great stuff coming down the pipe. You never know.
Just wait and see.
You never know. Benson Amps have just announced a brand new preamp pedal, the Benson Preamp.
Oh, yeah. So Benson Amps, everyone's favourite, well, probably not everyone's favourite amp company, but they're super cool. Like, they're part of this Portland super boutique, really retro range of excellent old school stuff. And this is their first foray into pedals. So this is based on their Chimera. Is that how you say it?
Chimera.
That one. Amp. But this is the preamp. So it's not tube like the amp would be. But sonically, it's certainly based on that. And they say it's a really simple preamp with just like treble bass drive and volume. But you know, you can use it. Everything from a clean boost, an EQ, you can use it as a drive pedal. It's just a really cool, warm, awesome sounding preamp. And I'd rather use like a preamp as a drive pedal than something as limiting as a drive. I'm really excited to get hold of one of these. I think they'll be super cool. I'm expecting them to be quite Hudson Electronics broadcast.
I was going to say it's going to fit in exactly the same
it's
spot
got
as
that,
the broadcast.
It's got more than a hair of the broadcast about it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, from the colour and even the arrangement of where the switch is and everything. But it looks amazing. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Some of the most impressive amps we saw at NAMM, Matt. Do you remember hearing that tiny little combo that they do? Oh, it was a tiny little head, sorry, with a little cab.
Yeah. Yeah, they just... It's just a cool looking brand, like all round. I wish you could get them over here easier.
Yeah, that's always going to be the issue, isn't it? Because they are, you know, part of this, as Joe said, like this Portland scene that's very kind of DIY and kind of fairly small. Getting them internationally is difficult.
Maybe guitar nerds need to go to Portland. Maybe that's it.
Maybe we should do that. Talking of Portland, actually, and Seattle, I was listening to the Tone Mob podcast this week with Andy Kim from Sinusoid.
Uh-huh.
You should all check that out, because the story behind Sinusoid and kind of Andy's like journey to making Sinusoid a thing is really, really interesting. And talking about, you know, why Sinusoid cables are... in his mind, excuse me, better than other cables. But also just, you know, the kind of business practices of the company and where they see it going. Super interesting to listen to. It gives me confidence. I mean, obviously, you know, we've had some of the product here, and I think, Joe, you're using
it. Oh, I've got some. There's loads here. Like, everything they do is absolutely banging. So all their custom shop cables.
Oh, look. Where's that white one that you had plugged in last night?
So these are the ones I use. They actually.
Who are you saying look to?
Oh, so, yeah. To sorry, us. Sorry, listeners. I just realised that there were white ones right next to me, but I've just handed a couple of the white custom shop ones. I really like everything about them. They're just they're really well put together cables. I know it's such a weird thing to think this is really well put together, but I like that they have the built-in Velcro. And you know, so that you can roll them up
cable tidy.
Yeah, it's great. I think they're really good. Their patch cables are good, and actually those are like their budget ones. They do this really sort of Kevlar-y mesh sort of cables as well, which I have somewhere over there. But
yeah,
absolutely fantastic. I cannot recommend Sinusoid enough. Obviously, in the UK, it's very difficult for you to get hold of them. But do you know what? Actually, you can check out some stuff I did of them. I did some little stop motion animations of them on our Instagram. So, listeners, if you want to have a look, they come in like pizza boxes, and inside that.
They talk about that pizza on the podcast episode.
Really? Yeah, inside that pizza box, you get your cable wrapped in brown paper with string tying it up, and it's just such a wonderful presentation. You know, you're buying into like a company that are really trying to make a really good product.
It's They're quite different from going out. Down the guitar shop and buying a £5 Venom Adder 12 or whatever. It's quite a different experience than that. But yeah, I mean,
the Venom Viper 10 was the classic £4 guitar lead.
They're going to run into the same situation as Music Man, I think, where because they do offer such customizable stuff, you know, you can get everything from, you know, patch leads with different ends, you know, whether you want straight or pancake, to, you know, loads of different types of cable, loads of different types of connectors. It's so difficult for someone who's, you know, got to buy a bulk of it to then sell on, like a distributor or whatever, to actually judge what people are going to buy. Yeah. I guess that's the that's the issue.
But even their patch cables come with like a built-in, like one in every three comes with a built-in Velcro cable tie, so that you can pack up your patch cables
three
well.
Together or six together or whatever.
Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah, they're super cool. So yeah, recommend definitely listen to that podcast. And again, they talk a bit about the kind of Portland and Seattle scene. So Benson, I think, probably get a mention in
that's
there.
Good. I was supposed to be on it this week, but it ended up not falling. It ended up not working out.
Well, Joe,
you're on it this week, aren't you? Yeah. Blake the same.
You've been swapped out basically for
He's shown his hand, and that's it. I will never ever listen to the Tone Mob again.
Yeah, sounds fair. And brand new pedal from Dr. No, the Moon Canyons.
This is genuinely weird.
Yeah, this is very weird. Also, when I was reading up about this, I was very, very... It was last night, and I was very tired. And I just saw the word canyon, and I thought, that's weird. I can't believe this company, Dr. No Moon, have named their pedal after an electroharmonics pedal.
Yeah, sorry. The way that I've worded it in the email makes it does look like it's Dr. No Moon.
The Dr. No Moon Canyon.
Yeah.
But no, this is the Moon Canyon from Dr. No. Dr. No, of course, the pedal company that we all know from making... all sorts of weird and wonderful fuzzes, including everybody's favourite troll pedal, the Turd Fuzz.
Oh, yeah.
But this is... it's more of a... I guess... If you can go from something that is as ridiculous as the Turd Fuzz, this is a slightly more... normal looking pedal, although it's still completely... I'm a little bit hesitant to say that because it is still completely balmy. But all in all, I actually think this is going to be a very, very cool piece of kit. So it's a multi-effects. You've got a drive which is first in the chain. Then you've got a really, really expansive sounding reverb, and then you've got a really nice digital delay, but that has a lot of that's basically sounds like an analog delay. And in the middle of that, in between the drive and the reverb, you also have an effects loop. So this essentially does exactly what we have been complaining about with regards to the Tech 21
Fly rig.
Fly rig, yes, thank you. we've always said that, like, great pedals, but it needs an effects loop so you can put your own stuff in. And this actually has that, but the quality of the effects in this over the fly rig is just absolutely monstrous. Some of the stuff that you can do with this pedal is just completely ballistic. I don't know if any of you guys have watched the videos on it, but I can't understand how they're getting so much out of just a small pedal like this.
What's going on in the middle of the pedal there? I'm looking at a picture of it now, and there's little bubble.
Yeah, well, it appears to have some sort of orb or something that's just cut in the...
The moon.
Well, yeah, I realise it's the moon, but, like, I think it's actually...
Like, it sticks out
from
the...
Sticks out,
because
yeah.
They've done that before. I can't remember the name of it, Matt. You'll probably be able to fill me in. There's one that they make that's got a little kind of bubble in it that has got, like, a tiny brain in it.
I think they did like a preamp pedal, if I remember rightly, that had that. But they all have weird things. Like the Troy Van Leeuwen Fuzz has like a bird's skull on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That like the controls and stuff. So they're always doing things like a little bit weird. And I remember I actually saw one of those turd fuzzes in a shop in Japan, and it's pretty big.
Really? It's not like a big old turd.
Yeah. I was like, wow. Because I guess like you look at the price and you're like, oh, it is kind of expensive, but then when you look at what it comes with as well, you're like, it's nice to see stuff presented, like we were just saying with the cables, that's a little bit more than just a white box.
Comes with a bag, some toilet roll, just a little scooper.
Well, this one comes with like a small novel, right? It comes with like a book.
Yeah.
It's like presented in the book, and it comes with the certificate and everything as well.
So, as well as all of that, you've got some other really nice features. So it's a really chunky looking pedal, and the LEDs that let you know whether the pedal is, each effect is on, is a kind of a ring that circles the switch itself. So you've got to check this out, because it just looks absolutely amazing, really, really well built. The thing that I find a little bit weird about it is apparently this has been like 2 years in development. They've been teasing this for a little while. They're only going to make 350 of them.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, which seems very weird. I mean, maybe they're really trying to, you know, push the limited availability on the idea of these pedals.
I mean,
but
I think it adds to that theatricality of the whole thing, really.
For sure.
I think most of the stuff they do is limited edition.
Yeah. Well, because it is. I think it is just pretty much all just Dr. No. I think he does everything still in the Netherlands.
Oh, is that where they're from? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure. I don't think these are, you know, OEM'd in China or anything. I'm pretty sure he's doing it all himself.
Yeah, so, something like that.
You know, you can understand that there's that idea of limited availability there. But yeah, 400 quid odd. So it's not a cheap pedal by any stretch of the imagination, but it really is a piece of art. Like, it's definitely something you need to look at, and you've got to check it out, because, you know, you've got those that lovely shimmer reverb, which I know makes Joe go weak at the knees, and really, really lovely repeats and everything on the analog voice delay. So yeah, all in all, really, really bonkers looking pedal, and looking forward to seeing some demos of it properly.
I sort of think with these things, there must be a collector's market for these. Well, there'll be a few people who just collect Dr. No pedals.
Yeah.
Funny you say that, actually, because I was looking at Solar Sound pedals the other day.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're still made by Mercari's. They made the first one. And they make them in limited amounts. I think it's like an 18-month waiting list. But you can buy the complete set of Solar Sound pedals, the 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the Tone Benders, £3,600.
They were
at the show, weren't they?
They were at the Birmingham Guitar Show, and I was talking with him, and he invited us over. He's only in Hayward Teeth. He's only up the road.
Yeah, I think they're built in like a barn.
Yeah, in a barn in Hayward Teeth.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's so weird.
Crazy collectible. I mean, they're still, if you actually look inside, I think one of them is only like 6 components.
Yeah.
And saying that basically don't bother covering up the circuit, because everyone knows what the circuit is.
Yeah.
We use transistors and stuff that we bought way back in the 60s, and you can't buy them anymore.
Yeah.
So it's all the original parts. And I was like, you can sort of see it as a collector's piece, having a complete set. But I mean, that's like that's got to be the most expensive set I've seen.
Well, I was going to say, we thought the Boss pedal set was too expensive. This is
I mean, the individual ones are £900 on an 18-month waiting list, or you can buy a complete set.
Blimey.
For £3,600.
Yeah, that's pretty full on, isn't it? Wonder if they do interest-free finance on that. Probably not.
Oh, I just got a new credit card.
This is too dangerous to talk about. We shouldn't.
I need to pick something to buy with it.
No, you should save your money, Joe Branton. Save it for when this all comes crashing down eventually, which I'm sure it will. Let's do one quick
question. Sorry, you threw me off then.
You were like, no, cut it.
I thought you were going to do the last section of news that we had there, but I was like, it's really boring. I don't want to
do it. Well, it was about bass, so yeah, no one cares. Yeah. No one cares. Let's do. Okay, this one's fun. Derek says, I'm working on a Cabernet Barracha build. It'll be dressed in. So, for those who don't know, Cabernet Barracha is the reverse kind of Jaguar with Gretsch pickups in it. Fender did them as a very limited custom shop model.
Oh, I think there was 21.
Something like that.
It was a very, very...
We had one, didn't we, in the guitar shop?
We did. It was absolutely...
You loved it.
I did love it. It was absolutely astonishing.
Incredible. My only problem was you couldn't get past, like, the 14th fret.
Yeah, because of the reverse nature of the body.
Yeah. 12, I don't understand. What's the problem? 15, 16. No, you can get to 16, 17, maybe at a push.
17? Yeah, I mean, I didn't know there were 17 frets on a guitar.
Or 12, for that.
There's only 7, yeah. Derek says, I'm working on a Cabernet Barracha build. It'll be dressed in nickel hardware with a white guard and TV Jones pickups. I can't decide between Pelham Blue, Lake Placid Blue, or Dakota Red. I'm looking for input for some fellow nerds. Joe B.
Oh my god, that's so hard because those are three really great colours. What was the red? Dakota.
Dakota.
I mean, I'd sooner go Candy Apple than Dakota.
What? You're absolutely bonkers.
No, Dakota's that really weird postbox red. I'm not into that.
I love Dakota, but I really, really like Candy Apple red. But I think I'd have to say Pelham.
Pelham blue. Yeah. So the sort of Man City blue, like we talked about before. That kind of Gibson blue.
Gibson blue, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Matt Knight, what are you saying?
Oh, out of those three, I wouldn't have any of them. I'd just go black.
Really?
You've got to pick one.
I'm not a fan of any of those colours.
Really?
The red one, to me,
how are you
worst.
Not a fan? Those are three great colours. Dakota red is a great colour.
No,
Dakota red is cool.
I'm not a fan of those blues.
I've never been a big fan of Lake Placid Blue. I think Lake Placid Blue is a bit boring. Personally.
But, wait, what was
funny
the
enough? Actually, I just
you say Lake Placid
it,
or seen... Pelham?
Yeah,
they're the same.
I've seen a non-reverse one in the, I guess like the Hot Rod red, which was the
great colour, absolutely great colour.
Consider Seafoam.
No, I'm saying, looking at that picture, I think we've just found the same one, Matt, of a non-reverse in, red, basically, like a
Fiesta,
Hot
or Sonic Red,
Sonic Red, or no, it's not, it's like Hot Rod Red, they called it in the past,
yeah. I'll tell you what, though, I've just seen the picture of the Cabernet Especial that they did, and there's Candy Apple Red, which looks amazing, Frost Blue, Racing Green, and Shell Pink. I mean, they just look so good. In Shell Pink.
I mean, obviously, the answer is Shell Pink.
You don't even need to discuss
it. The thing is, the relic black one looked so
The black one really, really looked amazing. It looked absolutely astonishing.
It was one of my favorite ever guitars,
that one.
I'm saying if you can't go for Shell Pink, go for the Dakota Red, because that one that there's examples of online look so good.
Yeah,
with the white guard as well. That looks awesome. With that, we should wrap up this podcast. If you want to hear more, we're going to be taking some more questions over on the Patreon episode. Patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour every week, plus access to exclusive series like Branton's Ranton. If you go for the $10 tier, you get your name read out on the regular episode in one breath by Joe Branton, like these people have.
Oh, there's more people. It's a really long name.
There's more people this week, and it's a long one. Can he still do it in one breath? Oh. Are we ready to find out? Do you want music or not this week?
No. Let's keep it real, because people want to hear their names, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Narcissists.
Yeah. That's fine. And you've got to make
I've
sure...
got a self-portrait.
Yeah, you've got to make sure that the names are clear and crisp this week.
All right.
Are you ready? Right. Three, two, one, go.
Chris Wolfman, Cuthbertson, Ryan McDermott, Robert Cousins, Rob Gould, Nate Nagel, Tucker Amadon, Ernie Cooper, Emery James Baker, Christoph Rettler, Zane Omar, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Derek Whitsome, Martin Cliff, Matt Davis, Aaron Sermon, Blake Whelan, Jake Gray, Christopher Lucid, Juan Garia, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Nordwick, Rob Grant, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Carlos Mantra, Steve Michael, Blair Toms, Mark Cross, Brad Page, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Phil Thompson, Will Gravett, Colin Anderson, Chris Wolfman, Cuthbertson. How long is that name? How am I even supposed to say that in one breath?
Oh, we're getting to the point. It's not that far off now. I think maybe three, four more names, and this is going to be a real struggle.
I'm having to really try and conserve breath. I know you are.
I know you are. I can tell. There was a couple of bits this week where you wobbled. I think all we need, you know, if you've got a spare $10 every month,
or even if you, you know, are a $5 Patreon and you want to bump up,
yeah, definitely.
Just to make Joe's life difficult.
Even if it's just for a few months, I think we need to push it. I think three or four more names, and he's going to really struggle.
I just think we need to put a rule against people adding their middle names.
No, I'm into it. I think any new people who sign up must put like a nickname in their name. Chris Wolfman Cuthbertson.
It might not be a nickname.
It could be his actual. It is in.
It's in inverted commas.
It's in inverted commas. So yeah, I think probably it is a nickname.
I served a customer once whose name began with Z and then an asterisk.
Very odd. Anyway, if you want to join in the fun, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where you can submit questions and have a laugh with the rest of the listeners of the podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram @guitar nerds and on YouTube at youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. Thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers, gang.
Wait, Zastrix.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.